We have so much to be thankful for, and Thanksgiving is a great holiday. We don't have to exchange gifts. We could just be together. We get, family, food, and football. In that order. Okay, make sure it's in that order. Thanksgiving is a great holiday, and there's a lot of thankful people. There's a lot of joyful people. Hopefully today you are filled with thankfulness. You are filled with joyfulness today as we go into this holiday of Thanksgiving. But I also know that there are a lot of stressed out people today. There are a lot of stressed out people. Just look around you. There's a lot of stressed out people. I saw a can. It was a hairspray can. It was Rochelle's hairspray can. It said, "Warning, contents burst under pressure." I think that label could be put on a lot of people. Contents may burst under pressure. And this time right now, this time, this season that we're heading into is the most, or can be the most stressful time. This time from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's Day is sometimes considered the most stressful time of the year. There's so much going on. There's meals to cook. You have to plan and prepare and cook the meals. There's Christmas shopping to be done. Has anyone finished their Christmas shopping? Just the thought of Christmas shopping stresses me out. Makes me nervous. Spending money, going to stores just makes me nervous, causes stress. There's parties and events to attend, to celebrate in this season, but that could cause some stress. And maybe even relatives. Spending time, we're not thinking of anyone specifically, but certain relatives or spending time with certain relatives or in-laws or cousins make you a little stressed out. Our family has some guests coming for Thanksgiving. We have somewhere between 15 to 20 people coming to our house, and we're preparing a meal. I say we, I'm going to do my very best to help, but we have never done that before. So we're preparing this meal. It's going to be a good time, but it causes a little bit of stress. On a more serious note, this time of year is extra, especially stressful, difficult for those who are grieving. This past year, someone who has lost a loved one has a lot of difficulty going through the holiday season. It's going to be a very different holiday season for some who have lost a loved one. I was counseling someone the other day, and they were feeling stressed out, just enormous amount of stress, as they thought about, even conceived the idea of going into the holiday season without their mother. Their mother had passed away earlier this year, and Christmas and Thanksgiving was a very special time for their mom and for the family. But the mom had passed away this past year, and so this person was just filled with an enormous amount of stress and grief. And her words were, "I just want it to be over. I just want to be able to survive. I just want to get through it. And this is a really difficult time. I know it's supposed to be a celebration, and we're supposed to be focusing on Jesus and being with family, but I'm just being honest with you, I just want to get through it. I just want to survive." Time for a quick plug, a quick commercial. November 28th, it's a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to do a presentation called Surviving the Holidays. And it's going to be over in the Crossroads room at 6 o'clock. And anyone who is in that boat where the holiday season, going into this holiday season, it fills you with a lot of grief and stress, I would encourage you to attend this event called Surviving the Holidays. I want you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to share this scripture with you this morning. And I pray that this scripture will be a source of encouragement for you this morning, a challenge, but also an encouragement for you. It's Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. I could read the entire chapter, but I'm just going to read these few verses. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." I love the book of Philippians. If I were to really think about it and to really be honest, I would say that Philippians is probably my favorite book in the entire Bible. There's a Christian professor that I knew that made all of his students memorize the book of Philippians, because Philippians is such a great book in ministering to people, in encouraging people. The book of Philippians is all about joy, having the attitude of joy. And it's a great reminder for us in our Christian walk to have the attitude of joy. And it's amazing that the Apostle Paul writes this book of Philippians, he writes this letter of Philippians while he himself is in prison. But yet he writes this book about joy and having the attitude of joy. I want you to think this morning about whatever situation you are in. I want you to think this morning about whatever it is that's stressing you out, that's concerning you, that's making your heart heavy this morning as you are here in church today. What is it that is stressing you out? Think about that for a moment. Step one in this passage tells us to worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. The first part of verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Now, how many of you here would agree that that is easier said than done? In fact, when I just say, don't worry, what do? You start worrying. And it's a constant challenge every single day for us not to worry, to be at peace. But just think about the way our lives are set up. We wake up in the morning from an alarm clock. It's not a good morning clock. It's not a how are you doing, hope you have a great day clock. It's an alarm clock buzzing in your ear. You wake up to the alarm clock, and then maybe you turn on the news. You turn on the news, you really feel stressed out. You start feeling depressed. You start grieving when you hear all the bad news that is in our world today. And then you eat your soggy Wheaties, drink your cold coffee, you get in the traffic, and you take care of all your responsibilities of the day. Psychologists call this era that we are living in, this time that we are living in, the golden age of anxiety. We are living in the golden age of anxiety. Worry is when we are focusing on the unknown. It hasn't happened yet, and it might not ever happen, but we're focusing on this unknown. The definition of worry is actually in the dictionary. It says to torment oneself. When we worry, we are actually tormenting ourselves. A man named Dr. Walter Calvert did a study on worry. I always wonder how they do these studies, how they do these surveys. But anyways, this guy did a study, Dr. Walter Calvert, on study. And he concluded in his study that 40% of worries never happen. 40% of the things we worry about actually never happen. 30% of the things we worry about are things of the past, things that have already happened. And of course, you can't change the past. The past has already happened. But 30% of the things we worry about are about the past. So that means that 70% of the things we worry about either aren't going to happen or they already happened. In this study, he said that 12% of our worries are about needless health concerns. I was just talking to a friend about someone who always, there's always something, there's always a health concern. Every little pain, every little ache has got to be something big. And this causes worry, just causes an enormous amount of worry. 10% of the things we worry about are about insignificant things, meaningless, trivial, small things. If I did the math, count it all up, that means that only 8% of the things we worry about are legitimate. Only 8% of the things we worry about even matter. And the truth is, worry does nothing. Worry doesn't change anything. Pastor Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, Rick Warren said, worrying is stewing without doing. Does nothing positive. Now, obviously, Jesus knew that this would be an important topic for our human nature and the way that we would be. And he even included it in the Sermon on the Mount, the most important sermon ever preached in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus, in one passage of 5, 6, and 7 in chapter 6, Jesus talked about the dangers of worrying and how we should not worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus said, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." So what Jesus is saying to us is he is saying, live one day at a time. Live one moment at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Today has enough concerns of its own. Sometimes I'm counseling someone with stress or a worry, and they say, you know, you just got to understand that I am a born worrier. Not warrior, worrier. I'm a born worrier. It's just the way I am. I've just always been that way. That's the way I am. I'm just a person who worries. It's not true. There is no such thing as a born worrier. It is a learned response. And that's good news. Because if worry is learned, if it's a learned response, then that means it can be unlearned. That means you can use new training to change your thoughts. Now this sounds really strange, but let me give you one little guidance, one little tip that might help. For those of you who are constant worriers, you worry all the time, all day long, you're worrying. And you have, throughout your day, you have appointments that you make all day long, and you know at certain times where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing, but yet throughout the day, you worry. Take that worry and make an appointment with that worry. Have a worry appointment. Not too long, just 15 minutes. 15 minutes a day, I'm going to worry. I'm going to set that, all instead of worrying all day long, I'm going to take whatever it is I'm worrying about, and I'm going to do that for 15 minutes every day. And then take that time and put it with your devotion time. So in the morning, you spend time with God. You're praying. You're reading his word. Spend that time. You take that first minute of that time worrying. And what you're doing is you're giving that to God. You're taking that worry to God. See, the Bible talks a lot about this concept of put off and put on. We put off bad habits and we put on good habits. If we just focus on putting off, then we really struggle. So there's always something that we have to put on. There's this put off and this put on. So worry about nothing. And then second, the put on is to pray about everything. We pray instead of worry. The second part of verse 6 says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. We can pray about everything. Nothing is too small, nothing is too big for God. We can pray about every single thing. But sometimes we get this mindset that God is only concerned with religious things, that God is only concerned with spiritual things, that's the only thing he cares about. But that's not true. God cares about everything. Is God interested in your finances and the struggles with your finances? Yes. Is God interested in your health concerns? Is God interested in that? Yes. Is God interested in your relationships, the struggles that you're having in your relationships or the relationships you're trying to build? Is God interested in that? Yes. God cares about you. He cares so much about you. The Bible says that he has the number of hairs on your head counted. Now, for some, that's a little more of a miracle than for others. But he knows. You know that every single voice print is unique. There's not two voices that are exactly the same. Did you know that everyone's fingerprints are unique? There are no two people with the exact same fingerprints. You know that every single person has a different personality. Every single person has different experiences. We are all unique, which shows us that nothing is insignificant to God. Everything and every person matters to God. Therefore, you can pray about everything. Now, this passage says petition. It uses the word petition. What does that mean? What does petition mean? When you petition, it means you bring a specific, detailed, and direct request to God. You get really specific and detailed and direct in your prayer requests to God. Don't be vague. Don't pray vague to God. You know, so often we get in this habit of praying vague to God. We just say, God, bless me. God, bless this situation. God, bless this person. Or God, help me in this situation. And we get really vague with our prayers. Now, be careful with the blessing prayer. It's so easy to say, God, bless this, or bless that, or bless this person, bless that person. Be careful with that. Because the Bible says that when we have the blessing, it comes through a trial, comes through a struggle. So do you even know what you're asking for when you pray for a blessing? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The Greek translation of that means to unload. Let it go. Let it go. Unload whatever it is that's got you stressed out. We come to church on Sunday morning. To me, it feels like the end of a week, but technically it's the beginning of a week. And we come to this place and we worship together and we lay our burdens down here. We bring in heaviness that's happened throughout the week, things that we've stressed out throughout the week, and we lay it down here. We unload it here. We let it go here. There's a lot of prayer in our service designed to get us to focus on the Lord and let go of our burdens. You know, when I'm praying with someone and encouraging someone to pray, I believe that our physical gesture is an important part when we pray. And when we pray with our palms up, it means we're receiving from God. Our palms are up and his blessings are coming down. We're receiving from him. But I'll encourage people, when you pray, when you have heaviness, when you have burdens in your life, to pray with your palms down, meaning that you are releasing this. You are letting go. You are unloading it in the lap of the Lord once and for all. Pray about everything. And then the third step in this passage says to thank God in all things. The last part of verse 6 says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Did you know that the healthiest emotion that you can have is gratitude? Gratitude is the healthiest emotion that you could have. Psychologists say that the attitude of gratitude actually reduces stress in your life. Doctors say that having an attitude of gratitude actually reduces sickness in your life. As you have an attitude of thankfulness, it actually makes you a healthier person. So you do a checkup on yourself right now. What kind of person are you? You have self-awareness, so you evaluate yourself, but you may be gutsy enough to ask a friend or a loved one to see what they say, what they see in your life. Are you a critical, negative, complaining, ungrateful person? The cup is always half empty. You know, these are the kind of people, probably the counselor should not admit this, but these are the kind of people where you just kind of like hide when you see them coming. You just don't like being around people like that. It drags you down. It really is heavy. It really brings you down. Are you that kind of person? Do you know people like that? Or are you a grateful, thankful person full of praise, full of thanksgiving, always seeing the good, always seeing the good that's taking place? That's what I want to be known as. I want to be known as a thankful person, a person full of gratitude. I grew up in the church, and there was this song that we used to sing. It's not a contemporary cool song. It's an older song, just a chorus that we used to sing. It was like our Sunday night services. We would sing this chorus. Some of you may know it, and don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. Count your blessings. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Well, we spend time thanking God for the many things that he has done. And I encourage you to make a list. Make a list of all the things that he has done for you this Thanksgiving, this week. Make a list. Sit down and write down all the things that you have to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. Max Lucado, in his book, Anxious for Nothing, tells us to take the alphabet, A through Z, and write a word or something that you're thankful for by each letter. And go through the alphabet and just write down all the things that you have to be thankful for. And this is challenging, especially when you get to X. I don't know what you'd be thankful for that starts with an X. And the Z, I hope you really love the zoo. But you can do this. You can sit down and you can just write out the things that you have to be thankful for. Make a list. You have to choose thankfulness. You have to make an effort to choose thankfulness. I stand before you this morning as a thankful person. I am so thankful. God has been so good to me. He has blessed my life in so many ways. I'm thankful for his salvation. I'm thankful that I don't have to do this in my own effort, in my own works. I'm thankful for his son, Jesus. The grace that he gives me, the new life that he gives me, the salvation that he gives me. I am so thankful that he never gives up on me. He's always working in me, always changing me, always growing me. I'm so thankful. So thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for my family. Thankful for my wife and my daughters who just make my days so much better. I'm thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for this church. Are you thankful for this church? I've been in a lot of churches. And we look around this church, we have a lot to be thankful for. We came here about 10 months ago. It's been almost a year that we've been here. Time flies. And we're having a ball. We're having a great time. And the people here are so loving, so welcoming, just good people. There's a reputation that the South has. And this is my first time living in the South besides Southern California, but living in the real South. And you live up to that reputation, you really do. Some of the most loving, welcoming, gracious people are in this place. And we love the Lord in this place. And I'm thankful for a church that loves the Lord. I'm thankful for a pastor that teaches and preaches truth. I'm thankful for a staff that pursues God and deacons and leaders that pursue God. I am so thankful for our church. I can go on and on. There's so much that I have to be thankful for. I'm even thankful for Texarkana. I didn't know what I was getting into coming to this place, but I'm thankful for this place. We have a lot to be thankful for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, honestly, this is a tough verse to swallow. This is a tough one. How can I give thanks when there's so much evil in the world? Now, how can I give thanks when children are getting sick and dying? How can I give thanks for diseases like cancer and Alzheimer's and terrible diseases? How can I give thanks for those things? How can I give thanks for wars when nations war against each other and people lose their lives? But notice this verse. It says, in everything give thanks. It does not say for everything give thanks. I am not thankful for everything, but in the midst of all these things, I can be thankful. The other night, it was a Sunday night, it was our last membership class night, and I was wrapping up. We had the membership class, and we were talking to some people and heading out to the car, a long day, ready to get into the car. I was going to meet my family at the car and then go home, and I was walking through the parking lot. Getting close to our car, I noticed there was a little crowd around the car, and there was some work being done. A tire was being changed. I had run over a nail in the parking lot. Didn't even realize it, but had run over a nail in the parking lot, and now my tire was flat. And as I walked up to the situation, I was not full of thankfulness. I was really discouraged, and right away I thought dollar signs. How much is it going to cost to change? And you know, whenever you change a tire, it's never just one tire. It's always two to four. You know, it's never just one. And so the dollar signs were going through my mind. What is this going to cost? What's the work of this? When am I going to find time to change it? You know, all these things start going through my mind. And I get closer, and I see this man, Jared Simpson, who goes to our church, who came to the church around the same time that we did. And he's changing the tire for me. Shout out to Jared, wherever he's at. And we started having this conversation, and his family was out there, and our kids were playing with each other, and we started having a conversation about, he also likes it here at this church, and he also likes it here in Texarkana. And so we started talking about, you know, the things that we enjoy and how we like being here, and we finished up changing the tire. It actually ended up being a really good fellowship with one another. See, I wasn't thankful that that happened, but in the midst of that, something good came out of that. Thankfulness came out of that, but it was a choice. It was a perspective that I had to have. Perspective is huge. In counseling, I find that it's always about perspective, helping people have a better perspective, because sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees, and so I want to help people get a really good perspective, and I want to help you this morning to get a better perspective. Don't just look at what you've lost. Look at what you have left. You are alive, and you have purpose. God has given you purpose. God has given you a vision for your life. God has given you a reason to live. And you have salvation. You have an eternity in heaven waiting for you. We have a lot to be thankful for if we just change our perspective. What is it that you're taking for granted this morning? Are you taking your health for granted? Not everyone could come to this place and get to this place and sit in the seat and worship and stand and worship. Not everyone could do that. Are you taking it for granted that you have health this morning, that you have the breath of life? Are you taking your family for granted? Are you taking your freedoms for granted? You know, we just celebrated Veterans Day, and we should never forget the sacrifices made for us so that we could have the freedom to worship freely. Don't take that for granted. And don't take our church for granted, the things that we have in this church, the ministry opportunities that we have in this church. Don't take any of that for granted. And so this Thanksgiving, as Thanksgiving approaches, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Give thanks in all things. And then fourth, think about the right things. Guard your thought life. Verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." See, the brain is like a computer. Our brain is like a computer, and we can choose to transform, to reprogram that computer. Romans 12 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We can renew our mind. We can transform what we think about. That means that we have to focus on what goes into our mind. So when we watch television, we have to watch the right kinds of things because we're putting that into our mind. The computer. We have to watch what we do on the computer because that stuff goes into our mind. The music that we listen to, we have to be careful what kind of music we listen to because that goes into our mind. The movies that we watch, we have to be careful what movies we watch because that goes into our mind. And the people that we invest in, the people that we spend time with, we guard that because negative in, negative out, positive in, positive out. So choose to think about the right things. Focus on the positives. Focus on the Word of God. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." What is it that you think about the most? What is it, if you're to be really honest, what is it that dominates your mind? I want to encourage you to fill your mind with Christ. Fill your mind with the Bible. Meditate on His Word. And when we do this, when we focus in this way, what is the result? What is the result of these things? In verse 7 of Philippians 4, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We want peace. People want peace. And we go to all different places to get the peace that we want. We go all kinds of places that don't really help us to get the peace that we want. We go to someone like a therapist and we talk and we think that eventually if we talk enough, we'll figure out what the issue is. Somehow the problem is within us and we'll find peace if we talk about it long enough. Or we get self-help books and seminar and go to seminars and try all of that to get peace. And we have stacks and stacks of self-help books and workbooks from seminars. Or we go to a relationship and say, if I could just have a relationship with that person, then I will be filled. Then I will have peace. And if I just have that right kind of relationship. Or sometimes we try and get peace by buying something. If we buy that product, if we live in that house or drive that car or have that thing, then we will have peace. We try all these different ways to have peace. But the Bible says God's peace is a gift to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. We're called to be thankful and to have a heart of peace. As we go this morning to a time of prayer, as we come to meet with the Father once again, as we worship and meet together with the Father one more time, let me ask you, what has you worried this morning? Maybe it's your loss, whatever loss that is, the loss of a relationship, some other loss, maybe that's what has you worried this morning. Maybe it's your own health. And you're worried about that this morning. Maybe it's your finances. You know, more needs to go out than's coming in. And maybe that's what has you worried this morning. Maybe it's your relationships. A relationship struggle has you worried this morning. Maybe it's your job. Your job situation has you worried this morning. Maybe it's just the busyness of the holidays and heading into this season. The scripture reminds us to worry about nothing. To pray about everything, to give thanks in all things, to think about the right things. As we head into this holiday season, I want to encourage us with all the things going on and all the different things that could distract us, for us most of all to focus on Jesus. Focus on God's Son, the Savior of the world, Jesus. And Jesus comes, and the purpose of Jesus is to give us salvation from our sins, freedom from our sins. Jesus gives us a great hope for the future. Jesus gives us a great peace in the present situation that we are in. And Jesus comes, and he brings light into darkness. And he is so worthy of our worship and our praise. Let's focus solely on him, the author, the perfecter of our faith.